Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. I've tried to think about this the last two or three Sundays, but I keep forgetting about it. But I'm going to tell you today, and I'm probably going to tell you again just before we leave to make sure that everybody hears this. I know that some of the churches are really doing something about this, and I know some of them are not. But I want you to know that I find this so disgusting and so disgraceful to the human race. It tells us where we have regressed to. Probably all of you in here know this, but you may not. But if you don't, I want you to know it after today. On November the 8th, which is the voting day, which most people will not go out to vote because there's no major offices being voted on November the 8th. But there is going to be a very major event going to take place on that day. If you're a Christian and you're not registered to vote, number one, you need to have your backside kicked about three times. At least three times. Every Christian needs to be registered to vote. The Word of God says, when good men do nothing, evil prevails. And we're supposed to be good people. We're supposed to be the just, the saved, the redeemed, the children of God. So we're supposed to be doing something against the forces of darkness. But on November the 8th, we're going to vote on an amendment in the state of Texas, what constitutes a marriage. As far as I'm concerned, that's about the most stupid thing I have ever seen in my life. I cannot believe that we will not stand in. I don't know how anybody could think that two women could constitute a marriage or two men could constitute a marriage. I don't know how that could be. I mean, since I was a three-year-old child, I knew the difference between a man and a woman. And I knew we were made different. I knew God made women as women, and women are supposed to be the ones that bring forth the children, and it takes a man to make that happen. God made that like that, and it's been that way for 6,000 years, and the first thing God told the man and the woman. Now, of course, when he made man, he put man on this earth, and he only made the man. And then he made all the animals. You know, and then, of course, Adam named them all and everything, and he saw that there was male and female and all this kind of stuff, and he named everything. He was a very brilliant man. And then he looked around and thought, you know, they all got mates, but I don't have one. And he said, God, what's going on here? You know, I don't understand this. You know, I mean, you've made all them a mate, and you didn't make me one. And so the first surgery was performed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. For doctors, that's good news, right? The first surgery, God put Adam to sleep, and he took a part out of his side, and he made this woman. And they were clothed in the glory of God. And I'm telling you, as a man, I know exactly what Adam said when he woke up. When he woke up and he said, son, there's your mate. I made her from you. And I can see him look at that beautiful thing and said, wow! God, you did good work! Look at that beautiful thing you made for me! And men should still think that about their wives. Most beautiful thing that God ever gave you. You know, you should love them. You should honor them as a weaker vessel. You should love them like Christ loved the church. And, of course, God made man and woman, male and female, for a purpose so that they could enjoy their sexual relationship and bring forth beautiful, healthy, intelligent children into the world. I don't understand how the devil could deceive people that we would have to go vote as to what constitutes a marriage. I'm going to tell you, if you don't get out and vote, you're doing a disgrace to the kingdom of God. And when you go out to vote, you want to vote one man in one moment in case you're not smart enough to know what it takes. I'll tell you. One man and one woman makes a marriage. If you're not smart enough to figure that out, let it be known. I'm not a rocket scientist, but maybe pretty close, but still, I'm smart enough to know that I don't see, if I was a single man, I don't see a single man in this room I'd like to go home with. Yeah, and, if you do, there's something wrong with you, and we need to cast that devil out of you. I'll tell you for sure. I don't know what it is about men, but if you men are like me, I'd whole lot rather hold my beautiful wife in my arms and hold her up against me and feel all of her parts than I had you and your parts. So is there something wrong with this deal? If we got to go vote about what constitutes a marriage, if you don't know what it is, let me tell you, take one man and one woman. So when you go to vote, you want to read the thing close, and if it says, one man and one woman, then that's what you want to vote for. But you want to make sure and you go vote, because I'm going to guarantee you that the perverts are going to be out there voting. Now, those people are possessed with demons. That's what's wrong with them. Any man that wants to go to bed with a man has got a demon. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what anybody says, that's what's wrong with them. And any woman that wants to go to bed with a woman's got a demon. They don't understand what they got, and they don't understand the spirit world, but that's what's wrong with them. And not anything wrong with the human being, but it's definitely what they got. And it's a demon. And that demon will pervert you, and he will cause you to do stupid things. Stupid things. But you want to make sure that you go vote on November the 8th and make sure you vote right. Because if you don't go vote, I'm going to guarantee you the demons of hell are going to be there in people, and they're going to vote, and they're all going to be there. And that's why they put this thing in when they did. Because if they'd have put it in or tried to slip it in whenever there's going to be any major offices like governors or congressmen or anything else that was going to be voted for, a much larger portion of the population will turn out to vote. And since there's nothing, no major offices whatsoever to be elected, most people say, well, why go vote? So that's why they've done what they've done. So you better get out there and vote. I wished I had a congregation this morning of 20,000 people here to tell this to. It's a shame. What a shame that we have slipped to the point that we have to vote on what constitutes a marriage. Now then, just in case you don't think God doesn't like sin and this kind of sin, all you got to do is go back in the Old Testament and you read what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. But not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but all of the little counties, towns, and everything around Sodom and Gomorrah was completely destroyed with fire and brimstone. The first nuclear attack, and it came from heaven, from God, against the perverts of that area. And it says, and God even burned the rocks. He purified everything. Well, first of all, do you think God likes sin? No, I don't think he likes sin. I know he does not like sin. And I know that we all sin far too often when we're not supposed to sin at all. But we don't realize how easy it is to sin. It's so easy to sin. So easy to miss the mark of God. It takes being on your toes 100% of the time to not sin. I am realizing how easy it is to sin. My goal is to not sin. Zero sin. I know that it's going to be difficult, but I know it's a possibility. If it was not, God would have not told me to not sin. He would have not told me to be perfect. Well, that's my goal. I'm going to do everything I can in the power of the Holy Spirit to walk in that place that God's called me to walk. I want to walk exactly where He wants me to walk, because I love seeing God answer my prayer. I love seeing the King answer my prayer. I love seeing Him answer your prayers. Now then, since that announcement has been made, and I trust all of you got that, you know, it wouldn't have taken me near that long to tell you, but I want to tell you two or three times, so make sure you heard it. Because I know how us men are, you know, we don't get it unless it's spoken at least twice, and sometimes three, four, five times. So I want to make sure you know to go vote November the 8th and make sure you vote one man and one woman constitutes a marriage. Now then, I want to give a few minutes for time for testimonies. I know we got some. Michelle told me when she came in here today, I got a wonderful testimony today. So this little girl's on fire. So, Michelle, I'm going to let you be first. What's your testimony, honey? Come up here and tell us what Jesus has done for you this week.
Well, I actually have two, and they're really amazing. Because I was checking the fishing line in the garage, and it came loose and wrapped around my finger. Completely took off my circulation for a couple of minutes. And then I was like, wait a second, you devil. I'm like, you get that thing right off, and I mean now. It came off within 10 seconds. It just unwinded itself right off. And then my other one was that I had the stomach flu Thursday and Friday. And I didn't think of it. I didn't think anything of it. I was thinking, whatever, you know. And then Friday morning, I was thinking, what am I doing hanging around and not kicking this devil? I'm thinking, what's wrong with me? So I finally kicked him out, and he went away in 5 minutes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Who else has got a testimony? You want to give us yours? Come up here, young lady. I'm not going to let you get by with this. Goodness gracious. You got a great one. Come up here beside me where they can see you. I want you to tell them your name and what you and your husband done.
My name's Linda Murphy. Last Saturday, my husband, out of clear blue, said he would come here with me to the healing school, which he's never been before. I've been here once. And on September the 9th, we got a really bad diagnosis. I had breast cancer and was supposed to have surgery within a couple of weeks. I did go to the surgery and have that done. It was positive, but we came last Saturday and to the healing school to hear Pastor Thurman, and he never had. And Pastor Thurman spoke on the authority in your household and what your husband has. And my husband's a godly man, but he hasn't really taken that kind of authority or prayed over us like he does some things, you know, like we've anointed our house and things, but praying out loud verbally. I know he prays. I said this to Pastor Thurman. I said, I know he prays. I just don't hear him pray, but I know he prays. And so he spoke into his life about the priesthood that he had over our house. So I'm going to do this faster than I'm started. But that night, we go home, and we have company for the night. So I recognize that we may not be able to talk a whole lot about what went on. But he decided that he would pray over me that night out loud. And he started really soft and low, and I'm like, you know, loud. We said loud. Well, anyway, God told me to be patient. And the longer that he prayed, the louder he got. And he started binding up demons and taking them out. And I kept saying to him, stop asking God. Tell him. Get rid of the demon. Well, anyway, he finally did. He started doing it without me saying it, with me being quiet. And so a little while later, I thought, well, you know, this is a good thing. And so the next morning, I said, well, you know, Michael, now that we know this, I said, I've had this problem with my jaws. You know, they call it TMJ. And I said, I want you to pray over my jaws and cast out the demon. I even went about 9 months ago and got one of those braces that the dentist gave you. Don't waste your money. I don't think they work. But anyway, so he said, okay. He immediately ran over there and he prayed over my jaws. And I thought, okay, that's good. Well, that night he came to come into bed. And I was in bed before him. And he walked in the room and the light was just a little bit on. And I popped up out of the bed. I scared him to death. I popped straight up and he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, my jaw just popped. It is wide open. It is wide open. It just popped out of the clear blue. And it's been that way for all that time. So that was the beginning of our healing. And I scared him to death, but I said, it did it. It's wide open.
Quit saying scared him to death.
Oh, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. I did not scare him to death. I bind up that demon in the name of Jesus Christ right now and cast it out. But I surprised him. I surprised him.
Surprised him to life. Right?
I surprised him to life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's been a blessing since then. Very much so.
Amen.
He really spoke into our life.
Praise the Lord. And this girl got healed. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's amazing how much that your priest and your home can do these great and mighty things. Yeah. Now,
they have a praise report.
Oh, okay. We got a praise report?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Come on up here. Praise the Lord. I'm taking testimonies. It's that time. Come on up. Praise the Lord.
Excuse me. I'm just a little teary-eyed today. We just went to the hospital. For all of you that don't know, we have a baby who was born at 28 weeks. 40 weeks is full term, so she's about 3 months early. Anyway, first of all, I want to praise God for answering our prayer from last week. The doctor said that he changed his mind and didn't want to give her steroids, that she didn't need it. That was an answer to prayer. And so today we went in to see her, and they thought she had a hole in her heart, and they were going to have to do surgery, and that they wanted to do an MRI to see if there was anything wrong with her brain. Anyway, I just got a call from the doctor, and he said the cardiologist said that there was no hole in her heart.
Sir?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. The technician had been did a test on her just right before we came to church, and you were standing there watching, and she said, "Oh, it looks like the hole in her heart has opened up again." And so I was just sitting in the chair praying that before the cardiologist saw the test that it would be closed. So thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer too. And he also showed me that we're going through this battle because he wants to show us, give us an opportunity to continue to pray and to show us his miraculous work. So.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to take them all. So no problem.
I just want to say everybody in that hospital is being blessed. Because, you know, all those nurses and doctors.
Her doctor that's been caring for her for the last 2 weeks, he's Chinese. Well, he's not a believer, but I know he will be a believer by the time she gets out of the hospital.
Amen.
He said, just now when I called him on the phone, he said, "I know you must have been praying."
Yeah, and one of the other doctors, as we were going out, the doctors talk amongst each other. So the other one's a believer. And yeah. And as we were going out, when we got all this news before we started praying again, you know, she was like, "You guys got to start praying." It's like she knows what's wrong with the baby or what they think might be wrong with her. So she was encouraging us to continue praying. It's like, so it's been an encouragement in so many ways. And we continue to pray for the nurses, for all the doctors, all the babies in there. It's not, you know, the Lord has not put us there just to concentrate on Brietta. I mean, it's a concentrate on all his children, which
Amen.
Every one of them in there is.
Amen. Amen.
And again, it's so neat to be a part of the body of Christ, because I came in and it's like the devil was beating up on me and everybody comes around me and starts praying for me. And all of a sudden, the spirit of depression or whatever it was is gone. And
Amen.
I said, yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, David's word says, "Be ye perfect as I am." So a servant is not above his master.
Amen.
But we can be perfect. And he says, "You shall be perfect as your master is." He says, "You'll be the salt and the light of the world." So they're doing just like Daddy said, being the salt and the light of the world. And I was down there, and they're affecting everybody down there in that hospital.
Amen.
I had an old cowboy came out to the ranch here a while back, and he wanted to buy some cattle. And the guy had one arm, and he just cursing, just old typical old cowboy. And so I just start praying. "Our battle's not against flesh and blood. You just love on them," Daddy says. "You just love on them." So I just start praying for this old cowboy. And then I bound according to God's word. I said, Lefty, we call him Lefty because he only has this one arm. I said, "Lefty, I'd like to pray for you." He said, "Oh, I don't believe in that stuff." I said, "Well, I know. It won't hurt anything, will it?" He said, "Okay." So I laid hands on Lefty and I bound the God of this world. It was blinding poor old Lefty. And asked Daddy to reveal himself. And that's what Daddy does. He sends his spirit. And he's the one that does the convicting.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that leads you to His ways, and He's the one that judges the enemy. So when you let Him take over, the Holy Spirit will take over. So Lefty came back yesterday to buy some cows. He says, Ty, I said, ever since you laid hands on me, I just can't. I'm not the same. I got to read the Bible now.
Now see, Ty did nothing but be the salt and the light of the world.
Amen.
Daddy did the rest.
Amen.
Daddy brought him under conviction. Daddy said, hey, there's more. And Daddy said, go buy a Bible and start reading it. So he borrowed a Bible from his niece. He said, he won't let her have it back. So you're the salt and the light of the world.
Amen.
So every one of you, Daddy says, go out there. Just be the salt and the light of the world. Just love on them. I'll take care of the rest.
Amen. Praise the King. That's all it takes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Praise the Lord. Sit down right here. We'll be next. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Boy, you have to really get with the program to get
Amen.
Up
here. Amen. So many testimonies. It's awesome. I love it. Praise God.
I thought I was going to have to follow that lady right there. I said, man, that's quite an act to follow.
Amen.
That TMJ and all that. And then, so I made the run up here and had to sit there and thigh jumps right up in front of me. Lori came in front of him, so it's a fight to the finish.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a church to be in.
That's right.
That
well, I'll just say this. I have made complaints, mainly to my wife, because I'm not that brave to go outside the house saying this much. But I talked to Thurman once about it, and I said, you know, most full gospel churches have a habit, or at least a routine, of saying, anyone needs prayer, come on up and let the elders anoint you with oil, and the Lord, and something good will happen. Well, I've been a thorn in some saddles, I imagine, because I say, well, look, you have 50 people up here. What about next week? Shouldn't there at least be one to come up and say, here's what God did? Well, my wife thinks that's a little strong criticism, I guess. Anyway, I came up here primarily to say thank you to the Lord for touching my back. Told Thurman about, well, that's 2 weeks ago, maybe three. I said, Thurman, I had an accident April the 18th of last year. And I was the middleman in a three-car thing, and I totaled out my Avalon, sold it to Lucky. We rode over in it today. But I went to a chiropractor for about 25 treatments, and as he was signing me out, I said, oh, Dr. Reynolds, you didn't get one place back here. He just kept doing that. He never even addressed it. So I aggravated with it. Every time I get up in the night, you know, I knew that the back was bothering me up here. So I said, Thurman, about time to send this off. But anyway, so Thurman prayed with me, and before I got the back here, I realized something's different. Well, since I wasn't here, I don't think I was here last Sunday, but anyway, I had 8 to 10 days where my lower back, was bothering me, I mean, quite a bit. I could hardly get up out of a chair or anything else, you know, without it bothering me. And so, whenever it was, I asked you to pray for my lower back. Well, I want to report that the lower back is no problem.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Hallelujah. You. Thank you, Lord.
And,
praise the Lord.
I love the Lord, and in spite of the thigh over here, I kidded him a while ago about it. I said, you got a lot of nerve to wear a tire like that. I said, well, if you don't want to wear it, don't need to let it hang at the house. I'll wear it. Now to get up here, and this gentleman here's got one that's, I think, takes more nerve than what you what you got.
No, absolutely not. Praise the Lord. You know what I told David the other day when he came up, and I forget how many months it had been. 14 months. He said, Thurman, I've been suffering my back for 14 months. I said, I can't believe you've been in this church, listening to me preach the Word of God all this time, and you've suffered with that back 14 months when we got Jesus here every Sunday. I said, I can't believe this. I said, repent. You know, repent. Yeah, I got one, yeah. And I prayed over him. I told him, Jesus said, heal him. My goodness, what do we think we got this king for? He's here, he wants to do good things. And he's been suffering for 14 months with a lower back, and all he had to do is come up and say, Thurman, you pray for me. And I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And he gets healed. I mean, let this be a lesson to us, right, Brother David?
Yes. And
Jesus loves us.
I got another lesson out of this, too. Had I joined this church formally, I'm sure by now I'd be excommunicated for being waiting for 14 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. I love it. I hate it when people wait so long. Praise the Lord. Now, who is this beautiful young woman? Huh? Do I know you? Oh, goodness. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord.
I don't think it's on.
Yeah, it is. Oh, did they turn it off? It's on, but I think the battery's getting low.
I've lost 100 pounds. And I got married to the guy in the back. Yeah. In all black.
Oh, goodness. There he is. Praise the King. Glory.
I was taking 23 pills a day, regularly, every day. Not counting two scripts I took. She says she can't hear me. Not counting two scripts that I just needed as needed.
Wait a minute. We're going to bring you a battery.
Okay.
The battery's down on that top. Sorry. Of that one.
I said I was taking 23 pills a day, every day, and I was taking two other scripts just as needed, and I'm not taking any of them now. Haven't for a year, September 27th, and God is awesome. A lot's changed in my life.
Yes.
A lot has changed, and it's a good thing.
Amen.
There you go.
All Taylor had to do. All this beautiful young lady had to do when she first came here the first time. And she had to weigh 100 pounds more than she does right now. All we had to do was talk to her and tell her what was available. And that she had to believe God. And if she would believe God and give him the time and walk wholly before him, she could stop taking her medicine. The medicine was putting the weight on her. You know, she had all these problems, and I told her that Jesus is the healer. He loves us, but there's a devil out there, you know, and he come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he does that in so many ways that we don't even understand. And he's so sly in what he does. So whenever Taylor listened to what I had to say and started walking in this and believing God, when she started believing God, then she realized that she could get off her medication. She didn't need that medication. And she could continue to stand on the Word of God. And for a year now, she's been without any medication at all, which she said she was on 20-something medications, got rid of all of them, and then just stood on the Word and trusted God. And you see today this beautiful woman, which has lost 100 pounds now, you know, and now she's married to this handsome young man back here at the back, you know. In fact, that was something that was wonderful that Cheryl told me one day whenever they were together, you know. She said, you know, I just got a feeling that Taylor. Or
they were together.
Or even before that, you made that statement to me one day. She said, you know, I believe Andy and Taylor's going to get married. And I thought, well, I mean, you know, Andy comes to church here and Taylor comes to church here, but I don't know. But it's history now. It happened, and Andy is a married man, and Taylor's a married woman, and praise God, and they're going to be happily married for a long time because they're going to serve Jesus, and as they serve Jesus, he's going to do great things. And whatever you do, married or unmarried, you put Jesus first in everything you do. And when you put Jesus first in everything you do, he'll do great things in your life. Okay, we got another testimony. Praise God. Step up here, girl.
It's awesome. Can you hear me?
It's
okay. I pick up pennies on the sidewalk, and I got an email that said that's a reminder to trust in God. Well, the other day I got a dime. I thought I was pretty cool. And so God told me that I'm going to use that dime for something special. And I thought, cool. So I hung on to the dime, and I thought, what is it? Well, then I got an email from Ruthie and Bob about voting in November, and I just moved to a different county, so I had to register in Denton County. And so I had to get a registration form and get it filled out and get it mailed, stamped at the post office that day. So I only had one dime. I didn't have any more change. So it took me a lot of calling around. I went to the senior center because I was told that's where you had to go, and they didn't know anything about it, so they called somebody else who gave them a number in Denton. And then I stopped at the library and got a library card, and then I went home. I called the number, and they said you could download the form and print it out and go to the post office and get it stamped that day. Well, my printer wasn't working. I said, God, what's plan B? I only have one dime. So I called the library, and they said 10 cents a copy. Well, I needed a copy of a utility bill or something. And I said, that's two dimes, God. I only got one dime. So you got to work this out. Because I was in a hurry, you know, because I wanted to vote, you know, one man, one woman. So it's silly. A little dime keep you from doing that, you know. And so I got to the library, and they moved me around and said you had to get a computer and all this stuff. And finally this lady says, well, we've got voter registration cards right here. So I only needed one dime. Isn't God awesome? I just had one copy of my utility bill, ran to the post office, got it postmarked, and I'm going to vote.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody needs to vote. Anybody else got a testimony? We won't stop there. If somebody's got another testimony, we had some good ones today. Praise the Lord. Going once, going twice. That's three times. It's all over. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the King. Okay. What we're going to talk about today. How many of you would like to really walk in God's anointing? How would you like to see God answer your prayer? I mean, you loved it when the Lord answered your prayer of your husband when your jaw was set free. Isn't that wonderful? I look at her open that mouth wide now. Man, you know, I mean, she can talk now. Woo! I mean, he's in trouble now. I mean, she can open that mouth, she can talk. Praise God. Oh, me. But we love it when God answers our prayers. But there's some requirements. And this is the beginning of that requirement today. I've preached this message to me so many times, but I have to hear it over and over and over. Because it takes a while for this thing to soak in. But this is the beginning of what you have to do. Everything revolves around what I'm going to teach you today. This is the beginning of everything. If you don't do this, you will never walk in the supernatural power of God. This is just the first step in walking in the supernatural power with God. Now then, I know everybody is just like I am. I wanted to see God answer prayer. But I didn't know how to get Him to do it. Although I was in church serving the Lord and everything, I wanted to see God do things, but I'm like David a while ago when he said, you know, you go to a big church or a Pentecostal church or whatever, then they do pray for the sick. And they'll, at the end of the service, you might have a prayer line of 50 people. Maybe you got 1,000 of them out there, and you got 50 of them come down for prayer. Okay, 50 of them came down for prayer, then next Sunday there ought to be at least 10 or 15 of them come down and say, hey, let me tell you what God did for me last Sunday when y'all prayed for me. But as a rule, nothing happens. Like you'd prayed for and prayed for and prayed for, and nothing happens. Every once in a while you might get one that something happens. And then that one won't get up and give their testimony. Or why? Why is it that so many people get prayed for and nothing happens? Let me ask you this question. I'll start off with me. How many of you have had people pray for you and nothing happened? I've had that happen to me. I've prayed for people and nothing happened. I've had people pray for me and nothing happened. Well, now, let me tell you. Back in those days when I never had anything happen, number one, I really didn't expect God to do anything supernatural. I didn't expect anything. Well, that's the first thing that whenever you walk in what we're going to talk about today, if you do what I'm going to show you here, the Word of God says, and after you walk in this, then you got to start expecting Him to do what He said He would do. You've got to call God in remembrance. One of the major things after you get what we're going to talk about today down pat, the next thing you've got to know is that God says in His Word in Jeremiah 1:12, I watch over my word to perform my word. So if you don't get God's word out there and start quoting His word, again, you're going to see very few answers to prayer. But if you really want to see Him do some wonderful things, first thing you got to do is what we're going to talk about right here. And the answer is in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these three is love. Actually, the word is agape in the Greek. When we say love, we use that word so flippantly today. We're almost like this young lady a while ago when she got up here and said something about death for her husband. You know, we use words so easily and we don't realize what we're saying. But when it comes to love, you know what we'll do? Since we only got one kind of love, one word for love, we don't have the three words the Greek uses for love. So we walk in and say, wow, I love that sweater you're wearing today. Okay, you love that sweater you're wearing today. Or, wow, I love your hairdo today. Oh, I just love the color of your new car. Oh, I love my wife. Now, I don't know which about you, but I hope in those four different interpretations there's a difference between all of those. But see, we use the word love so flippantly today. Some people never even use the word love unless they're going to say, oh, I sure would like to make love to that woman or that man. You hear that on television. That's an entirely different. That's not love, that's lust. Entirely different things. So you got to realize that this love that God's talking about here is His kind of love. The agape type of love, where you really love people. When you love people, you will do no damage to those people. When you walk into God kind of love, you'll not do any damage to people. That's just like when God says, husbands, love your wives. That's the agape kind of love. Husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her so that your prayers will not be hindered. In other words, if you don't love your wife like I love the church and give your life for her, I'm not going to answer your prayer. That's pretty clear, isn't it, guys? You want to know why most men can't get a prayer answered? It's because they don't love their woman like Christ loved the church. Oh, yeah, you see them come to church together. It appears everything's okay when they walk in the door. You know, of course, coming down the hallway, coming here, they were arguing. In the car on the way, you know, they're having a knockdown drag out. But when they pull up in front of the church, say, oh, you better straighten up. There's Pastor Thurman. He might be watching us. Well, it don't matter if I'm watching you or not. God's the one. He's with you, right? He knows what you're doing. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, so when you were fussing at your mate, God was there. If you were fussing at your mate and God's in her, then when you're fussing at her, you're fussing at God. You think he's going to answer your prayer? Absolutely not. This is the most important thing that any of us can do to begin to be able to walk in the God kind of power. You got to walk in love. I told some of y'all this story last week, but it's so good, I'm going to tell you. I think it's so good, I'm going to tell you again. Cheryl lost a skirt the other day, a black skirt. Oh, that's it, the one she's wearing. She lost this skirt. She loves to wear that skirt, but she lost it. We went out to GLC, and on the way back somewhere, she was woke. I mean, the other night, I'm laying there in bed. She's going through her closet over and over and over. She said, I have lost this black skirt. I don't know what I've done with it. I said, oh, honey, it's got to be hanging there somewhere. You got so many clothes in there, you just can't find it. I mean, what a problem to have, you know. You know, we have so many things, you know. And we are so blessed today. And you know what so many women say? They walk up that closet from here to here and they say, you know, I don't have a thing to wear today. Oh, well, yeah, that's the way life is. But anyway, she loved this little black skirt. She couldn't find it. And so she come to bed and she's still upset. And I said, well, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it and said, Lord, show us where this skirt's at. So in just a minute after we prayed, she says, I know. I bet I left it. I bet it fell down off the hanger and it's in the bottom of that black bag that we brought the clothes in. She said, I'm going to get up and run in the other bedroom. And she thought it was laying on the floor in there. And she looked and she come back to bed and she said, it's not in there. I said, oh, no, that black bag, I already put it in the attic. And I said, you really think you left it in there? She said, well, that's the only place I can think of I might have left it. And she said, either that or I left it hanging out there in the hotel. I said, no, you didn't leave in that hotel because I made a check of that hotel before we left. And I guarantee there wasn't nothing hanging in that hotel. I know we got all the clothes. I said, okay, I'm going to get up and go upstairs in the attic and I'm going to look and see if that skirt's in there. She said, you mean you will get up at 2:00 in the morning and go up and look in that bag for me just to see if my skirt's there? And I thought just a minute and I said, you know, Christ told me to love you like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. And I said, honey, this ain't even close to giving my life for you. So, yes, I'll go up there and get that and look in that. So I got up and went, let the staircase down, crawled up in the attic, went over in the corner, found the black bag, unzipped it, and there's the skirt. So I zipped the bag back up, come back downstairs, and I walked in and handed it to her. And you'd have thought I'd have given her $1,000,000. She was so happy. She said, I just can't believe. She said, you really love me. Well, gee, if that's all it took to get her to think I really love her, what would she think if I was fixing to give my life for her? You see where I'm coming from? Now then, I've seen some men that say they love their wives. And she says, you know, honey, would you go up in the attic and look and see if I left it in there? He says, absolutely not. If you want that, I'm tired. You go look for it yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see no love in that. Do you? No. Well, let me tell you, you can be that kind of man if you want to. But God ain't going to answer your prayer. So most of those kind of men won't even have the faith to pray because they'll be so dead to the things of God because they're not walking in a God kind of love. God's not going to reveal nothing to you, so you won't even be able to pray. If you treat your wife like that, you're definitely not treating her with a God kind of love. I don't know. You men in here, you don't necessarily have to hold up your hand, but I will. I'm going to tell you, as a man, I want to see God respond when I pray. When I pray, I want to see the King move. Well, not whether it's for my wife or for you or anybody else. Brother David, don't you want to see God move when you pray? Well, there's a requirement. And that girl sitting beside you, he told you to love her. Amen. And that's why he answers your prayer. He says, love that girl like Christ loved the church. But it's amazing how we don't do this. Now, of course, you know, it's a lot easier for some men to love their wives if those wives will make life interesting or fun at home. You know, some of you girls wake up in the morning, especially if you've been married a few years. I kidded Cheryl yesterday even. You know, we've only been married 16 months now. But yesterday, she's getting ready to go shopping, her and Aisha. They're going to go, they tell us they're going to go take back a few things. And so they won't be gone long. I told Dave, but later, I'll tell you what I told Dave later, but I said, I went out to the shop to get some things, and of course Cheryl knew I'd went out the back door to the shop. I was only out there a few minutes, and then I came back in, and I thought, well, I didn't find what I was looking for, so I come back in my office, and I'm there in my office, and she didn't see me come back in the building. So she thought I'd went out in the shop, so she goes out to the shop, she looks for me, she can't find me, she said, well, I don't know where he's gone. So they came back in, and Ayesha came by my door, and she told Dave bye. And Cheryl, they went out and got in the car and drove off. So I was in there calling, and I told Dave, I said, well, this part that I need, they've got it down here in Fort Worth. I said, I need to drive down there and get it. I said, you want to run down there with me? He said, yes. I drove outside, and I said, where's the girls? He said, well, they've already gone. You know, they go right there. I said, the honeymoon's over. He said, what do you mean? I said, Cheryl didn't even tell me goodbye. I said, that's the first time she's ever left and didn't tell me goodbye. I said, the honeymoon's over. It's over. So anyway, he said, well, she went outside looking for you. He said, she was out there looking for you. I said, well, okay. Maybe it's not quite over yet. So I said, so I called her on the phone. And I said, you didn't tell me bye. She said, well, honey, I went out to the shop. I looked all over for you. I couldn't find you. I came back in, and I couldn't find your shop. So I said, I didn't know where you were. So it's time to go. So we just left. She said, are you there? I said, I'm turning around right now. I'm coming back up and give you a kiss. I said, no, you're not. I said, no, they ain't used to do that. I said, just go ahead and go shopping. So they said, oh, that's okay, Thurman. Cheryl said they'd be back by 8 o'clock. I said, Dave, don't never believe a woman when she says she's going shopping when she's going to be back at 8 o'clock. He said, well, they just said they're going to return a few items, and then they'll be right back. I said, but when they walk in, there'll be some sale rack. And when they see that, they'll have to try on everything in that rack. I said, so don't even think about Cheryl being back at 8 o'clock. I said, you know, let's let the girls have fun because they're going to be a while. So we went ahead and went to Fort Worth and got our stuff. And, of course, we got down there. When I got to Fort Worth, I had 15 minutes before the store closed. I knew the store closed, said they closed at 6. I thought, well, we can drive down there. It took us 45 minutes to get there. We run in and got what we needed, and we came out, and Dave said, man, this store's like a candy store. He said, I love this store. But I said, but Dave, we only got 15 minutes, so you ain't going to get to do much looking. So we got back, and we got to what we needed. Well, finally, at about 9 o'clock, or maybe it was 9:30, the girls come driving in. 9:40. The girls come driving in. And I told Dave, now see, Dave, he and I had already eaten dinner and everything. You know, we'd watched a video. We had all kinds of fun. I said, now, learn the lesson today. When the girls start to go shopping, we need to do them like we had today. We need to let them get to the store 15 minutes before it closes. Then they won't have time to try on everything in the store. And they went, and he said, well, Thurman, they just went to take a few things back. I said, oh, yeah. But I guarantee when they come back, they'll have a sack full of something. And sure enough, for about 20 minutes while we were sitting there and they were eating dinner, Cheryl's taking little stops and everything. I'd say, oh, but honey, this was on 80% off. Look at the money I saved you. It was 80%. I just bought this and this and this and this and this and had a sack full. Look at the money she saved me. Woo! Goodness, what a woman. Okay, but now then, what do I have to do? Oh, now then, oh, I got to love her. You know, now guys, y'all all know, guys, well, how much did that cost? Well, you could have done without that. You didn't need that. You've got a closet full. Now, how many of you guys have been guilty of doing those kind of things when your wife goes to the store? Oh, all of you have. I know you have. Don't lie to me. Don't tell me you don't do that. I know what men are like. You know how hard it was for me to sit there and say, yes, honey, that looks beautiful. Every time I say, oh, my land, she bought something else. Yeah. Any of you guys live where I live? It's not easy to walk in love. The devil's saying, you know, now she could have done without that. She didn't need that one. You know, she's only got four of those hanging in the closet already. You know. But now see, the enemy will do everything he can right there to get you out of a love walk. And when he gets you out of a love walk, then you're not walking in the God kind of love. And then your prayers will not be answered. I have been in homes when men and women, when the woman would go shopping, and when they come home, even in my presence, the man would lose it because she bought two or three little things. What a shame. There's not any God kind of love in that home. There is no prayers going to be answered in that home. The God kind of love. Let me show you and explain to you from the scriptures today how the God kind of love works. And this is the first prerequisite to walk in God's anointing. This is just the first one. But this is the first one. If you're not willing to pay this price to walk in the God kind of love, you will never, ever see God do a really supernatural miracle for you. He's not going to do it. He's not going to share His power. He may answer a few little prayers for you. But if you want to see Him do something, I don't know about you. But last night at 1 o'clock in the morning while I was still studying, I was out there in my office with my chair reared back with my eyes closed and my hands straight up and saying, God, I know I have only touched the hem of Your garment. I want to go on to bigger things. I want to stop all this little trivial stuff that we talk about all the time that's really nothing. I want to see You do something magnificent. Well, what would You like to see me do, son? I would like to walk up and a woman say, Thurman, right there, I'm standing by the gravesite of a man that I was married to for 20 years, or 5 years, or 6 months. And he died 2 years ago. And he's been buried right here ever since. I said, ma'am, that's no problem. God told me to ask anything and He'll do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, would You raise him up out of that grave and let him stand here and hug his wife right now? And up out of the ground, the man would be standing. How many of you can even think about going there? That's where I want to get. Oh, but he's only been dead 2 years. That takes some faith to even think like that, doesn't it? Somebody said, well, we might be able to raise them from the dead if they haven't been dead more than 30 minutes or an hour. Well, let me tell you, it's no more difficult for God to raise a man from the dead, been dead 30 minutes, than it is to raise him from the dead if he's been dead for 1,000 years. When you stop and think about Ezekiel, I stop and think about that story of Ezekiel. When God told Ezekiel, Ezekiel, do you think this valley of dry bones, these people have been dead for years, do you think any of these people could ever live again? I can only imagine when Ezekiel said, oh, God, only You know. We think too much like men because we don't walk in the God kind of love. Now, if you're walking in a God kind of love, you ought to be thinking these kind of things. But when Ezekiel spoke and all that army of men came together, today, to walk in a God kind of love, the church, the whole church, the body of Christ, needs to learn to walk in the God kind of love, because if you haven't noticed what's going on in the world. In fact, I had stopped watching television. I hadn't watched television for years. But recently I've started watching some news again. Because what is happening on the news blows me away. I mean, used to, you know, we have one hurricane in a season, you know, and it's 100 miles an hour. But last year we had seven of them in one season, and four of them was active at one time. Never have we had something like that. And now then, this year we're about to run out of names of hurricanes that are happening all over the country. You turn the news on and Florida gets wiped out. You know, the next day you turn the news on and all Alabama and New Orleans gets wiped out. A 100-year hurricane hits New Orleans. Only once every 100 years. And 3 weeks later, one bigger than that monster. That was a short 100 years, wasn't it? There's something going on the earth. And then you turn the news on and up in the Northeast, where they don't ever have excessive rain, the place is being washed away. I mean, if it's not hurricanes, it's floods. And if it's not floods, you turn it on and over in Pakistan, 1.6 million people's out of a home because of 7.6 to 8.0 earthquake, which came and destroyed everything and then had a half a dozen countershocks after it that run from 5.5 to 6.6 in the next 3 days, which again wiped out things and killed thousands of people. What is going on? Well, Jesus said, just before my return, all these things are going to come to pass. Now, guess what? If all these things are going to come to pass and we're seeing them come to pass, do you think any of the people that died in any of these things might have been Christians? I think so. Why do Christians die during these kind of things? It's because of sin and unbelief and not walking in a God kind of love. Now, why is it we have so many of the devastating things happen and so few of the miraculous testimonies? Like, we've had two or three of them right here in this church, and I know I've heard two or three of them on TBN, but somebody comes up here and says, you know, I lived, or my aunt lived, or my uncle lived, or my cousin lived in a certain place in Alabama or whatever, and they even lived in a mobile home park. And every mobile home in their park was totally, completely blown away. Not one shred left of nothing. But we stood by faith on the Word of God, and ours wasn't damaged. One out of the whole place. Now, that goes to show you where we're not walking. If the church walks in the God kind of love, then the church can come against these forces of darkness that are destroying things. And when our Lord, our King, which destroyed the works of the devil 2,000 years ago, when He says, ask me for anything and I'll do it for you, why doesn't that work for most of the church? Why is most of the church, when somebody says, oh, I got healed. Oh, now wait a minute, you know. Maybe it was just a coincidence. No, I went down to Living Savior Church, and I sat through a four-hour healing school, and I went up there, and that pastor prayed for me, or one of the other people there that was a prayer warrior prayed for me, and I got healed right there. No. I mean, you know, maybe it was just a coincidence. I mean, those kind of things don't happen no more. Don't you know that the healings and miracles and stuff like that went away with the apostles? I mean, did you know? Unfortunately, only a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Christian radio, and there was a president of a Christian research institute that was talking. And somebody called in on this talk show and asked him a question. And his answer was, sir, I'm sorry that the miracles and healings went away with the apostles. They don't happen anymore. He's the only president of a Christian research institute in a seminary. And if he's preaching and teaching that kind of stuff that it don't work anymore, should we ever think we'll see God do a miracle? Well, somewhere, his theology don't line up with the way I read the Word of God. So all I can do for that man is pray for him. I definitely don't want to get in out of a love relationship with him, because if I do, then I can't get miracles to happen for me. Miracles and healings still happen when you believe the King of Kings and you walk in love. Now then, men have to love their wives to see miracles. And women have to be subject to their husbands to see miracles. It does not happen if so many women that I've seen today, this God kind of love starts at home. This is in the church. Here we are going to vote about what constitutes a marriage on November the 8th. And yet, we're supposed to know in the church what constitutes a marriage is one man and one woman. And that one man and one woman is supposed to be in a love relationship with each other. They're supposed to be so honoring each other and loving each other. That man's supposed to be willing to give his life for his bride. And his bride is supposed to be able to submit herself to him in anything, in everything she has. And she is to love him and be in subjection to him. And the Word of God says, even to the point of calling her husband Lord. One of some of those women, Christian women, will jump right up on your back right when you say, you think I'm going to call my husband Lord? You got another thing coming. Well, I'm telling you, woman, you're in direct rebellion to God. And he's not going to answer your prayer. If you're not willing to submit to your husband in all things, I mean, God's not going to answer your prayer. I mean, I didn't make the rule book. I have to live by the thing. You and me didn't write this thing, did we? I mean, I have to love Cheryl. She has to submit to me. If we get out of that love walk, God says, oh, that's okay. You two can do whatever you want to. You can have a knockdown drag out tonight, or you can do whatever you want to do, but forget it. I'm not with you. The minute you stepped out of a love walk with each other, you're on your own, kids. You stepped out of a love walk with me, you better not need anything, because if you do, I'm not going to answer your prayer. I told you to love each other. And when I said love each other, he said I didn't stutter. I meant what I said. But he don't get upset with you. He just don't answer your prayer. So when the devil comes up on you and tries to destroy you, you wonder why prayer don't work. You know why that the average Christian today in church thinks that the miracles went away? It's because they ain't never seen one. I prayed for somebody and nothing happened. Well, this little gal sitting over here, she told me she'd had 100 people pray for her back, and nothing ever happened. So, obviously prayer don't work, does it? When she came to me nearly 2 years ago, she said, Thurman, I've had over 100 people pray for me. I go to church. I go to a big church, well-known church in this community. And she said, over 100 people have prayed for me over the last years. I've had back trouble for 30 years, and I have never been healed. So you could ask her, does miracles work anymore? No. Why? Because I've had 100 people pray for me. Surely one of them would have done something right. But it didn't work, because they didn't do it God's way. But when she came here, I showed her what caused her back injury. And it was sin. And I told her she had to repent of that sin. And she did. And then I told her, I said, God watches over His Word to perform it. I said, have you ever used the Word of God and called God in remembrance of a scripture after you repented to get your healing? She said, well, no. And I said, so you never got anything from God either, did you? And she says, no. Now, if you would ask her, does healings and miracles still work? Well, for 30 years they haven't. 30 years I've been in pain and suffering and had all these problems. So if you want to know, do miracles work? I don't think they do. But when she came here and she did what God says, and we did what God says, she got instantly healed. God instantly healed her. So does miracles still work? Yeah. Oh, when you do it His way, they do, don't they? Oh, and I'm going to tell you, any of you in this room, just like this precious young lady right here, is it better to have your jaw working than to have it locked?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to know that, does it, young lady? No. All you got to do is have a man, a husband, a priest. I got on her husband. I mean, he said he's a godly man. He goes to church. I said, well, why haven't you prayed for this girl? And I said, when's the last time you prayed for her out loud? She said, well, I don't remember when's the last time he prayed for me out loud. I said, what? You're the priest of the home and you hadn't prayed for this girl. I said, you need to repent to God and pray for her. And obviously he did. Yeah, he prayed for her right here that day too. He and I was right there together. I had my hand on her and him, and we were in a circle right here. There was three of us, and we agreed in prayer right there, and he voiced a prayer. But boy, has he been praying this week, huh? Woo! I love it when a man realizes that the devil is the one who's been cheating him out of all these things. And when you learn, I mean, just like us at the ministry center, somebody walks in the ministry center, we attack them because that's somebody else we can pray for and get healed or get delivered. We know the King we serve still does miracles and healings, doesn't he? I mean, praise the King. But see, he's got some requirements. Love. Walk in love. So who's willing to pay this price? Well, let's think about this. In 1 John 4:8, it says, so God is love. The God kind of love. If God is love, why is God's love greater than hope or faith? Why is it greater? Because your faith won't work without love. Faith is dependent on love to work or to produce miracles. If God is love and you're not willing to walk into God kind of love, then you will never see God do miracles. Now, the enemy knows all this. So that's why the enemy attacks the Christian home so intently to get a problem between a man and his wife. Because when he gets you two out of a love walk, then God cannot answer your prayer until you repent and get back into that love walk. The first requirement to see miracles is to walk in the God kind of love. One of the greatest men, and I read several books that have been written about this man, one of the greatest men of faith that I've read about in this century, that's lived in the last century, was Smith Wigglesworth. There was a half a dozen or so really, really, really powerful godly men that lived in the last 100 years that I know about. And the thing that come across to me in every one of those men's life is everybody said when you were around those men, you felt like you were engulfed in the love of God. I think, wow, that confirms exactly what the Scripture says. When we walk in the God kind of love, people ought to be able to look into your eyes and say, wow, I see love in your eyes. I see the gentleness of God in you. That's the way we should be known as Christians. The love of God. Loving each other like that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now then in 1 John 4:8, if you loveth not, then you knoweth not God. So if you're not walking in a God kind of love and you don't know Him, then you're not going to get your prayers answered. You're not going to see Him do these wonderful things. Because God is love. And you're going to have to let that God kind of love flow through you, through your life, through to people that you minister to, and you're going to have to walk in that. And I don't know about you, but I love to see God answer my prayer. That every time I look back there at that smiling Sharon, I think about how she loves to see God answer my prayers too. Because many of you in here, but Sharon had suffered so long for so many years with such pain. And when I had the privilege to pray for her, God instantly healed her. And what a privilege to see God heal a young lady that had been prayed for by 100 people in church, at least 100, over 30 years, and nothing had ever happened. And then we got together with one man and one woman in this place in a God-love walk with the intentions of God in our heart, and God healed that woman. But there's many of you in this room that I could call out right now that's been healed when we did that same thing. Many of you. Of course, Cheryl, she's my best teaching tool. I mean, she had so many things wrong with her when I married her. She was nearly a basket case. Thank you, honey. Like a used car. But now she's a new car, praise God. I mean, because of prayer, I mean, her leg went out, you know, and I mean, her knee was giving troubles, and all kinds of things. She had so many things wrong with her, and of course, her feet were cold, and all these kind of things. But by praying from day one, I mean, man, she's a new car now. She's on fire. I mean, woo, she's warm and on fire, and she's a young woman now. Well, what changed her? Prayer. Praying over her in faith. I mean, you know, wow. I think about the answers to prayer that she and I's had together as we have prayed together and loved together and laid hands on each other in parts like her leg. I mean, her knee, she knocked that thing out on a bicycle or one of them riding machines when she was exercising, I think, 16 years ago or something like that, many years ago. And that knee had given her trouble all those years. But I told her, I said, honey, it don't have to be like that. I mean, every time you kneel down and do something, you can't get up, and your leg swells up and everything. I said, that's not God. I said, we'll get that healed. So I'd pray over, I'd lay my hands on her knee, and I'd rub that thing and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you made me a promise. You said I could pray over this, and it'd get well. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And it'd do okay for a week or two or three, and then she'd do something, and it'd slide off again. And so I'd come back, and we prayed over that thing once or twice a month for 8 months until finally it's done. It no more problems. Then she goes skiing, really puts it to the test. Last year goes skiing and skis all over the mountains of Colorado and not one single problem with her knee. Does God do good work? Oh, He does good work. You know, now some people will say, well, I prayed over my wife one time and it got better for a couple of weeks and then it's no good no more. So I guess it don't hold. No, you don't quit there, do you? You do it again. And you do it again and again until it don't happen no more. And so that's what Cheryl and I did. We stayed there. We stayed in that love walk. And we stayed on God's promises. And we prayed until we got it done. I mean, all the things that she had wrong with her. I mean, I think about what faith does. I think about the time when we, in this love walk, I think about when we started our first fast together. You know, and only a week into the fast or a few days, all of a sudden she calls me and she's all upset and she said, honey, I don't know what happened to me this morning, but I wake up and my face is broke out and all these big old red whelps. What's wrong with me? I said, oh, it's just the demons coming out of you. That's all it is. I said, they don't like it because you're starving them. They're retaliating. See, we don't realize we can have demons. Let me tell you, we've all sinned so many times in our life in the world. We all got demons. But you need to... Okay, we're back on. Now then we find out who was walking in a love walk. All of you that were walking in a love walk didn't jump. All of you that jumped were not walking in a love walk. Now then, with what's going on in the world today, when we get down to this love walk, I want you to know that the church is fixing to undergo some of the most trying times of their life. We're going to get there, and so you need to learn how to walk in the God kind of love. Because if you're walking in the God kind of love, you can have the God kind of faith. And today, you need the God kind of faith. Because, look at the storms. Look at the earthquakes. Look at the floods. And who knows what else the devil is going to do to the world. As you notice, this is not just happening to America. What did the tsunami? It affected places all over. Now then, I don't know if any of you heard that report, because it was only on CNN for just a few days and then they took it off. But there was an island out there somewhere in the Pacific, I believe it was the Pacific, that was called the Miracle Island. It was Christian. One little tiny island out there that was 95% Christian, 5% Muslim, and had one mosque on the end of it. And the rest of it was churches. Now, isn't it amazing that those people were standing by faith and they were Christians, and this tsunami wave comes roaring up out of the ocean? Now, think about this. Here is an earthquake that happens underneath the floor of the earth, of the ocean, and it creates a wall of water up to 100 feet high, but it's 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 feet down in the water. So when this thing is running now across the ocean floor at up to 600 miles an hour, there's not even a ripple on top. You don't even know it. But when it comes in close to shore, maybe these things dissipate up to 30 or 40 feet, but all of a sudden, right out at 300, 400, 500 miles an hour, a wall of water, 20, 30, 40 feet high, at lightning speed, just comes up out of the floor of the ocean and rises up, and all of a sudden you look up and there's a 30 or 40 foot wall of water coming like lightning straight at you. And what kind of devastation did it create all over the world? It tore up some serious stuff, didn't it? And it killed lots of people. But this little Miracle Island, here was a little island out there in that place that was 95% Christian, and those people stood by faith on the Word of God. And that tsunami dissipated and went only across the end of the island that had the Muslim mosque and washed off the Muslim mosque and completely destroyed it, and not another thing on that island was harmed. Impossible for that thing to separate to do what it did, except God intervened. Now, that when we stand by faith, if when we stand by faith and you plead the blood of Jesus over your homes, over your cars, everything, and you walk in the God kind of love, you can be involved in a traffic accident out there in the middle where 40 cars are piled up and you have pled the blood of Jesus over your car, and your car may be sandwiched in between every one of them and you ain't got a dent on your car. You can do that by faith. When everything gets stopped and they pull all the things off that was totally destroyed, here you were sitting there, and the guy said, well, gee, this guy was only 4 inches from you on this side, 1 inch from you on this side, and this guy here was only 2 inches from you over here, and 1 inch on this side, but your car had got a scratch, and you're right in the middle of it. How did that happen? And you say, hey, I'm a Christian that's learned how to walk in love, and I'm standing on the Word of God, and I pled the blood of Jesus over my car today, and I said that no devastation, no stealing, no killing, or no destroying can touch this car or me today. And I am walking in complete love, so I'm walking in complete faith. I know the God I serve. He is able, and He is willing, and He will protect me through this day. And I have spoken it by faith and love. And when you do that and walk in the God kind of love, there ain't nothing can touch you. Nothing. Now then, somebody says, but Thurman, what if a huge hurricane comes along like this? Do you know that Miss Dolores Mueller in Florida went through 4 hurricanes last year? She's been listening to our teaching for 2 or 3 years. She was so inspired. She was one of the first people way back yonder that I started sending tapes to, and when I did, she was just awestruck with what she heard. And she has continued to order tapes and tapes. And that lovely woman, just every once in a while, she'll send us a $100 donation to the ministry. She's just a great giver to the ministry. That woman is on fire. She's listened to these tapes, but she had a great praise report. She said the first hurricane come, asked the Lord to move it another direction, and it moved. She said the second one came through, and I asked him to do something else for it, but said through three of them I lost power. I didn't lose any, that had no damage to my home. I stood on the word. But she said, by the time the fourth one got there, I said, you devil of hell, I rebuke you, and I now know that I have power and authority over you. You didn't touch my house the first three. This time you're not going to touch my house. But she said, I am fed up with being out of electricity for weeks. She said, this time you're not going to knock the electricity out, not only in my house, but in my entire block. You're not going to knock out the power. And when the hurricane cleared, there was over 1 million people in that area out of power, and her entire block still had power. She wrote us that testimony. Now, the God you and me serve honors the God kind of faith. And you can't walk in that God kind of faith unless you're walking in the God kind of love. If you're walking in the God kind of love, that's when the king says, you can ask me for anything and I will do it for you. Now, how many of you besides me would like to be in a place where every time I ask God for something, He does it for me? You want to be there, Deborah? I guarantee I want to be there. Well, what does it take? Walking in a God kind of love. Is that going to be easy? Oh, that devil's going to make that so difficult. If you're married and have a mate, the devil, if he can, before this day is over, will get you into a screaming match with your mate. If he can. And some of you will let him. Some of you will let him. I mean, he's really good at what he does. Really good. Don't listen to him. You know, listen to the God kind of love. And see, I've seen men that would get upset, like I told you a while ago, when their wives go out shopping, especially when they don't come home for 2 or 3 hours after when they say they're going to come home, and they don't fix you supper, but they did put the stew on to cook so you could watch it. Well, let me tell you. When you stay in the God kind of love, you get to watch a good video at night while they're out shopping, having a ball. You get to talk about the Word of God. And, of course, yesterday we had a lovely lady and her son out there, and they stayed. We were out there several hours together, 5 or 6, I guess. And the lady, she said, wow, when Cheryl says y'all are 24/7 Bible study, she said, now I understand what Cheryl means. For all those hours, we'd been in the Word of God all afternoon studying the Word, talking about the Word. I'm telling you, I can't think of anything better to talk about. Can you, Sherry? No, the Word. Yeah. What's that?
She's back there.
Oh, I know. I know she's here. I saw her. I just didn't call her name out, but I knew she's here. Her and her son both are here. But praise God. Bible study is wonderful. Now then, to get God to do wonderful things, you've got to walk in this God kind of love. Now then, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he said, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So this is where you find out. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So you got to have faith too, right? And your faith is going to work by love. So if you're not walking in a God kind of love, your faith don't work. You can try everything you want to do to make that faith work, and it's not going to work. I'm going to tell you that the other night when I allowed my faith to work, whenever, and some of you have heard this testimony, but it's such an awesome testimony, it needs to be told every once in a while to let you know what God will do today. When they say God don't do miracles, let me tell you, they got to be too late. You know, I know He does do miracles. I've seen Him do too many of them. But the other night when I prayed for that Mormon doctor in Salt Lake City, Utah, that on Tuesday had fell out of a tree and broken his back, and had been care flighted out of the mountains to a hospital and done a CT scan on him and had two different hospitals look at this CT scan, and it's confirmed his back is broken. And he was in excruciating pain from Tuesday till Sunday night. And in Sunday night when he called me at 10 o'clock, I prayed the prayer of faith for him, and God instantly healed that man's back. And the next day, he flew Cheryl and I out there, and we spent 2 days in his home and taught him and his family and many of his friends about the Jesus of the King James Bible. I'm telling you, God does miracles. Now, he doesn't do them for you unless you're walking in the God kind of love. Now, if you're walking in the God kind of love, then your faith will work. And when you speak, he will honor his word and do great things. Can you imagine that you can be on a telephone in Dallas or in this area and another man on a telephone in the Salt Lake City, Utah area, and you pray the prayer of faith for him and God instantly heal him? It takes faith. Somebody said, well, now I've got to go over there and at least lay hands on him. If I don't at least touch him in the name of Jesus, he can't be. No. The God we serve, he says, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even think or imagine. So let me tell you, start thinking like God. You know, when you're driving down the road, you know what happens? Somebody comes by and cuts you off. Has anybody in lately, as coming to church, maybe even today, had some guy drive around and cut you off? In fact, yesterday when Dave and I was going to Fort Worth, there was a young man, we're trying to pull up on the freeway, and a young man in a pickup goes ripping up, and cars are everywhere, pulls plumb off on the shoulder, goes ripping by everybody. And Dave said, Father, in the name of Jesus, do something to help that young man so he don't hurt nobody. In Jesus' name. And guess what? He prayed that prayer. We got, all of a sudden, his truck started slowing down. We get up on the top of the hill, and there's two cops sitting there, motorcycles and everything. But by this time, everybody's driving the speed limit, including him. And then he gets on over the top of the hill, down there just a little ways, and his truck blows out a bunch of smoke, and he pulls off the side of the road, and it ain't running no more. So the Lord, they prayed a prayer of faith, Lord, help that young man so he won't hurt nobody. The guy said, okay, I'll blow up his engine for him. That's what I'll do. And so we came back 2 hours later after we'd been shopping, and he's still sat there on the side of the road working on that truck. He wasn't in near as big a hurry as he thought he was. But now see, can we change things in prayer? Yes. Now see, that young man might have killed himself. I mean, he was so crazy. I mean, he pulling out on the side of the road, ripping by everybody. I mean, out on the shoulder. And then zip back in, cut across two lanes of traffic. Whoa! I said, man, this young man is wild. They said, well, let's pray. I thought, praise God. We got somebody in here that believes in prayer. Let's pray. Well, now see, most of us don't even think we can change things when something like this happens. And so we just fuss about that guy. I need to call the cops on that guy. Yeah, no, pray. You can change it. But it don't work unless you're walking in a God kind of love. When you're walking in a God kind of love, when Dave prayed that prayer of faith, God knew his heart, and he done moved, and that truck stopped running, and almost nothing flat. That's amazing to see prayer answer that quick, isn't it? What you can do. Now, second, your faith will not work without hope. He said, faith, hope, and love. So you got to have hope. You have to hope for something before your faith can give substance to it. So faith is also dependent on hope. Now Hebrews 11:1 is where we find that answer. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is what makes faith, another thing that makes faith so difficult. People today, especially those of us in America, have been so trained that you need to be able to see something. In fact, I had a mother call me or email me yesterday. She said, Thurman, since we've been to the healing school, we know our daughter is healed. We know she's healed. but said, my mother and other relatives are giving me such a difficult time. They say they have to have a doctor's report to believe. But she said, we believe she's healed. I said, well. She said, I need help. What will we do? I wrote her back and said, that's simple. If you believe she's healed, take her to the doctor and get a praise report from the doctor. And then you can show it to everybody else that she's healed. See? Who is it that's going to determine whether a girl's healed? It's the mother and father. Do they believe up front? Yes, we believe she's healed. Then no problem. If you believe she's healed, take her word and let the doctor check her. Ain't going to be nothing wrong with her. And then everybody else will know. Because the average Christian in church today cannot believe the promises of God. We don't trust the King. Why is it we don't trust the King? Because we've never seen Him answer one of our prayers. Why? Well, here's the little lady over there. You know, she said, well, I need to go over to Susie's house today, and I'm going over to Susie. I said, Susie, do you hear what Pastor Thurman said this last week? You know, he's really off out there on a tangent. He's really crazy. Oh, you're condemning one of God's anointing, and you're going to want to know why your prayers don't get answered? Is there any love in what you're doing? No. But now, I didn't tell anybody but Susie. But when you told Susie, then Susie told Jane, and Jane told Bobby, and first thing you know, there's a story out about Pastor Thurman. He's lost his mind. He's crazy. And of course, you know, after the message I preached last Sunday, some of you probably went home and said that about me. Unfortunately, I preached the meat of the word last week that's going to be very difficult for some of you to get a hold of. And that's why I only preached it one time in my life. And last Sunday was the first time I'd ever taught that. Why? Because nobody walks in it. Nobody that I know walks in what I taught last week. When I started teaching that Jesus was a healer in the Baptist church, they wanted to throw me out. And that's the minor stuff. That's the milk of the word. That's not meat. That's milk. Jesus is a healer. You know, that's not milk, meat. That's milk. But if you have trouble with that, you really had trouble with last week's message, I can assure you. Now then, why do we not see God heal? Because we're not walking in love. We're not doing it His way. When we do it His way, we get to see Him do great and wonderful things. Now then, when we see, when we pray, when we have faith, and we have hope, and we've done it all in love, then there's no problem. We pray the prayer of faith, and just like when Cheryl asked me the other day, when we prayed for Dr. Gary, she looked over at me after I hung up the phone. She said, honey, what do you think? I said, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. Is there any faith in that? Sure. I mean, what do you think I'm going to tell her? Well, I don't know what's going to happen. If I tell her I don't know what's going to happen, did I have any faith?
No.
Absolutely none. Does God say I got to believe His word with no doubt in my heart? If I have no doubt in my heart, none, then my heart is flooded with the love and the light of God. And so if my heart can be, now my heart can have darkness in it, and then it can be illuminated with the light of God. Well, I tell you what, I don't want no darkness in my heart at all ever, do you?
No,
because when you got that darkness in your heart, God doesn't really hear your big prayers. He don't do those big miracles. And that's what's wrong with us. Now then, this God kind of love, you see there, if you don't have hope for something, your faith cannot work because it has no goal or no object to believe God for. Therefore, faith can't work without hope. Also, faith is dependent on love in order to work. Now, that's why the Bible says that love is greater than hope or faith. Love is the greatest of the three. Because if you don't have the God kind of love, He says you don't know Me. That's scary, isn't it? So we need to have the God kind of love. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, let's go over and look at a few of these verses. Start with verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, Is there anything wrong with speaking in tongues? No. Is it wonderful for those who can do it? As long as they do it in love. Now then, if you walk up to someone and you say to them, and I've heard this said, in fact, I had a woman call the minister center the other day, and she wanted to talk to me. So they finally got through to me and said, Thurman, will you please talk to this woman? She's just normal, hysterical. I said, okay, I'll be happy to. She said, Pastor Thurman, she says, I've been told that if I don't speak in tongues, I'm not saved. I said, ma'am, that's a lie. I said, that's a lie. I said, do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? She said, absolutely. And she said, but I don't speak in tongues. I can't do it. I said, ma'am, it's according to your faith. And she said, well, she said, you see God do so wonderful things. You must speak in tongues all the time. I said, ma'am, I hardly ever speak in tongues. Only very rarely in times when it's just me and God alone do I ever speak in tongues. You mean you don't speak in tongues all the time and you see God do all you see Him do? I said, sure. She said, oh, thank you, Jesus. There's hope for me. Now, what if I'd have told her, I speak in tongues all the time. I never open my mouth without speaking in tongues. She'd have said, oh, God, I really must not be saved. I'll never get to see you do nothing. Isn't that amazing? See? That's why I don't go around speaking in tongues all the time, so that you will know that God can use you even if you don't speak in unknown tongues. I very rarely ever speak in tongues. And I don't flippantly use it, never. Because I know that some people are offended by it. And so I don't do it. I usually only speak in tongues when it's just me and God by ourselves. Then I never offend nobody in it. I want to walk in the God kind of love. Do you know some people are offended when you talk in tongues? Some people have never heard of tongues, and they come to this church, and you walk up to them and start speaking in tongues. They might say, well, you're crazy. Where I go to church, we don't do that. Well, that's why I don't do that to them. I don't want to offend nobody. I want to love them. Now then, if God tells me, like a preacher I know, he said he was on an airplane one day. And he was going from a place out in Washington to, I think, L.A. And he's sitting beside a businessman. He said, well, I'm flying alone. I'm talking to this businessman. And he said, the businessman asked me, he said, what do you do? He said, well, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. Teacher of God's Word. Oh, he said, well, you're one of them guys. He said, well, I do this. And so he said, as the guy began to talk about himself, and I finally asked, I said, well, sir, are you a Christian? No, 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 I don't believe in that stuff. He said, I'm an Indian. I'm a national Indian, native Indian from Oklahoma. And he said, I don't believe in God. And he said, but sir, Jesus is... No, I don't... Well, I can sit here with you. We're going to talk about work or something. But we ain't talking about religious stuff. So the pastor said, okay, no problem. So he said, we talked about his business, we talked about the weather, we talked about everything. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me and says, I want you to talk to him in tongues. He said, I thought to myself, oh God, this guy don't even believe in you. And you want me to talk to him in tongues? He really going to think I'm crazy. He said, no, God, no. I ain't doing it. So he said, we fly along here a little while, and the Lord said, son, I told you to open your mouth and talk to him in tongues. He said, I said, Lord, this guy plainly told me he don't want to talk about religious stuff. So if I start talking to him in tongues, he's really going to think I've lost it, and he'll probably punch me out and get up and walk out of here. He said, no, God, I ain't going to talk to him in tongues. So he said, we're on final descent coming in when the Lord says, son, this is your last chance. You must do what I told you to do. Just talk to him in tongues. He looked over at him and said, sir, I hope you're not offended with what I'm going to do, but the Lord told me to speak to you. He said, well, okay, what do you got to say? So he said, open my mouth and started speaking in tongues. And he said, when I got through, the guy just turned totally white. And I said, sir, did I offend you? He said, "Where did you learn to speak my native language perfect?" He said, "What do you mean, your native language?" He said, "I'm an American Indian, a Navajo, and I've never seen an American that could speak my language perfect and fluently. And you told me that there really is a God, and that He loves me, and He wants me to accept Him as Lord and Savior." And the guy was just white as a sheet. Now then, in that time, if God tells you to talk in tongues, do what He says. You know, do what He says. He knows what He's doing. After all, He's the King of the universe, right? Now, if you're just going to say, "Well, let me impress you. If you don't believe in Jesus, let me just talk to you in tongues." Who knows what tongue might come out of your mouth? Who knows what you might say? But the thing about it is, if we in the church would learn to walk in the God kind of love, and then when God speaks to us and tells us what to do, if we would just do what He says, He would be glorified in everything. But we got to get out of the way and let Him live through us. And He will do that if you walk in His kind of love. It's wonderful to see God do those kind of things. And I've had many experiences similar to that myself on airplanes with people, because I used to travel all over the world. You have no idea how many people that I'd meet in airplanes. I'd always pray, "Lord, when I get on this airplane, You set me where You want me to sit. You put the person beside me that You want to set beside me. And Lord, if they need to be ministered to, let me minister to them. And Lord, if it's time for me to be blessed, let them to bless me in the name of Jesus." And man, you don't know how many times I got off airplanes, how many people I've led to Christ on airplanes, get to the terminal at the other end, and stop and sit there for an hour or two and talk to them and their families after we get off at the other end, because I was serving the living God. I mean, I've seen Him do mighty things. I've seen Him change entire families when they'd all be meeting, and they might be Jehovah's Witness or who knows. I've talked to them on airplanes, and then got to Dallas one night, talked to a Jehovah's Witness from Chicago. Almost, we had 20 minutes, 30 minutes out of Chicago, and this guy come by and walked by, and I'm reading the Bible. And only 20 people on the flight. He stops, he's three-piece business suit. Young man, 30, 35 years old. He says, "Sir, is that the Bible you're reading?" "Yeah, yeah." He said, "Can I ask you a couple of questions?" I said, "Sure." So he sat down the seat right across the aisle. And after the third question, I said, "Now let me ask you one question. Are you a Jehovah's Witness?" He said, "Yes." "How did you know?" I said, "Because I know what y'all teach. And your questions were the exact questions they always ask." I said, "Now let me tell you what the Word of God says." So from there to Dallas, we were an intensive study of the Word of God. When we got here, he said, "Good grief, I didn't know all these things." He said, "My entire family is going to meet me." He said, "Are you in a hurry?" I said, "Of course not. I'm going home." But I said, "No problem. I'm here as the Lord's servant. I'll do anything." He said, "Could you speak to me and my family for a few minutes?" Well, that few minutes turned out to be 2 hours. But let me tell you, when you do it God's way, you always produce fruit for the kingdom. Only God knows what He'll do with what I did with that family that night. But I give my life to serve the King. And that's why He does what He does for me, because I do everything I can to walk in His kind of love. Now, a lot of people say, "Good grief, mister, I've been gone all week. I got a wife and children at home. I ain't got time to sit here and talk to you." You know, you read the Bible yourself. Is that the God kind of love? Not hardly. I mean, the God kind of love is giving that man and that family the time they needed. That's the God kind of love. Are you willing to do that? Well, do you want to see God do miracles for you? Then you better be willing to walk in the God kind of love. Now he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." So if you don't have love, what do you got? Nothing. You're nothing. "And though I have the gift of prophecy." Oh, and we got some wild prophets today. I mean, you can go places and we got some of them that's really, really, there's a lot of them out there. A lot of good ones. But if you prophesy and you don't do it in love, you offend people. So when you're a prophet, when you prophesy, you got to be careful and sensitive and tuned into the Holy Spirit. You might jump on somebody's case and you may offend them or somebody standing beside them. So you really need to learn how to prophesy in love. Because the Lord says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy," and that is a gift, "and I understand all mysteries." What a privilege to have that. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could move a mountain, and I have not love, I am nothing. Are you beginning to see why we don't get God to answer a lot of our prayers? Wow. God sees you as nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Oh, you're really going to do something good now. You're going to send $500 down to feed the children. God really owes me something now. I'll give $500 this month to feed the children. But this says, and though I give all my goods, my house, my car, my bank account, and everything, and I give my body even to be burned, and I do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love's very important, isn't it? Very important. You begin to see why the church doesn't hardly ever see a miracle. Because we're not walking in the God kind of love. And this is just the first requirement. The first one. The most important one. If you don't pass this goal, you can't get to the rest of them. This is the beginning. He says, look at these above verses. We are nothing, absolute nothing, without love. Regardless of the gifts that you may have had. God may have given you all kinds of gifts. In fact, technically, He's given all of us all the gifts. The Word of God says all spiritual gifts belong to the church. If all spiritual gifts belong to the church, then why in the world don't we walk in these things? Why don't we see God demonstrate these things through us when we pray? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because we're not meeting His requirements of walking in love. We're walking in too much sin in the church. We're not walking into God kind of love. It's tough to walk into God kind of love. It's not easy. It's a constant battle. Well, I guess I can only talk for myself. But it is a constant battle to walk in the God kind of love. You know how easy it is for somebody to say something or do something for you to get out of a love relationship? Somebody might just walk by and look at you wrong. And you think, well, who does he think he is? And all of a sudden God says, oh, you just stepped out of love. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I don't want to step out of that love, God. I want to walk in your love. And the Lord says in John 13:35, this is how you will know you're my disciple. Look at this, John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If you have love one for another. I didn't realize it was already 10 after 4, but I got to read these next four verses before we quit today. Can't stop in this teaching without these next four verses. Now, if God's love is so important, then we need to know what it is and how to love. Don't you think that'd be a good idea? This God kind of love never fails. We find it defined in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. This is the God kind of love. If you can't walk here, you can't walk in God's miracles. You won't be able to walk in His supernatural healing power. This is what's required. In fact, I'll tell a story on Sharon the other day. Sharon, she really gets the brunt of this. But the other day, she's sitting up here real close, and I said something at a healing school, and she was here, and I said something, and she came right back and said something. I said, now, Sharon, that's not the God kind of love. And she said, you're right, that's it. I repent, Lord. She said, from this day forth, I'm going to walk in love. Didn't you do that, Sharon? See? But see, that's the way we are. I mean, when we say something, it's so easy for us as Christians. I've done it. I mean, when I look at Sharon, I point one finger at her, I got at least three pointing back at me, see? So I know how easy it is when somebody says, oh, gee, that guy, he did something. You say, well, man, we ought to get him. I say, whoo, that ain't the God kind of love. That's right. The Lord said, pray for them. He said, even pray for your enemies. Did he not? But now here's the God kind of love. And then we'll quit after this. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 4, says, love, or the God kind of love, suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not vaunt itself. In other words, be boastful. It's not boastful. That's what vaunt means. It is not boastful about itself. In other words, it does not go around talking about itself all the time. Wow, look at me. I am somebody. No, you ain't nothing without Jesus. You're just a piece of dirt. Don't you think for a minute you're somebody? You know how long it would take you to be nothing? One heartbeat. So don't think you're somebody. Only boast in the Lord. You know, don't boast about yourself. I'm the best engineer that ever was. If you don't believe it, you just ask me. I'll tell you. I'm the best one that's ever been alive on the earth. That's not the God kind of love, is it, David? No. If you're good at what you do, other people will tell you. You won't have to worry about telling them. When you try to tell them, that means you're not very good. So go out there and work diligently and love God and let them see what you do. Then it says there, love does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not seek its own way. Now that's been one of my downfalls. In life, we're going to do it my way or else. Well, that's been something that's been difficult for me to overcome. I guess because I'm a man, I don't know. But I have to meet this criteria. I didn't write this book. He wrote the book, and I have to walk in it just like you're going to have to walk in it. But it does not seek its own way. It is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil about anybody. So when the young man goes zipping around you yesterday, the first thing I thought was, good grief, I hope there's a cop up there to stop that boy. But see, Dave was walking in more love than I was. See, Dave said, oh, God, please do something before you don't hurt nobody. See, now that's the difference. Here, I'm the pastor, and he's one of my subjects, and he's walking in more of a God kind of love than I am. So see, we all have to fall in there, don't we? My first thought was, oh, God, let there be a cop up there and stop that kid. Well, Dave had a better way, the God kind of love. So it was a great inspiration to me, because when we got on top of the hill, there's two cops. But Dave, by his prayer, had already slowed the boy down. His truck had already started failing. So when he goes by, and we were all driving 65, when this kid goes flying around us, so I know he's driving 75 or 80. So I know he would have got stopped and got a ticket. So because of Dave's prayer, the pickup started slowing down. When we go by the police officers, we're already down to a speed limit, and then his truck pulls off to the side, and he didn't hurt nobody. See, that's what God's love does, right? Amen. Praise God for men that listen. You know what that tells me? He's listening to my messages more than I'm listening to them myself. I need to listen to my own preaching. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? We preach it, but we don't do it. We got to listen to it. Rejoice, love rejoices not in iniquity or sin. But love rejoices in the truth. Now, love bears... This must be a misprint here. Love bears all things. Ooh, that'll put you to the test. Love bears all things. It believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things. Love never fails. Now let me tell you, without the God kind of love, without hiding yourself, how are you going to ever become like that? Well, let me tell you, I've found there's only one way to stay in that God kind of love, is to stay in God and continue to read the Word and continue to pray over the Word. And I mean, just like last night there at 1 o'clock this morning. I mean, I locked my door, my office last night when I went in because I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't know I might be down on my face. Nobody knows what I do in my office except God. You know, and I really don't want to be down on my knees or on my face or on top of my desk crying out to God, somebody open the door and walk in. You know, I want them to walk up, they're going to come in. You know, nobody ever knocks, that's okay. But they walk up and they're going to open my door and come in. Well, if the door's locked, at least they have to bang on the door. And then if I'm up there saying, oh God, then I got time to get down off my desk and get down and recapture myself. And I look like a human being when I walk up to the door. But you know, I mean, not that I look funny or anything, but when I'm, you know, laying there and sometimes just sitting back in my chair with my hands raised, my eyes closed, and I'm just praying. And I'm seeking God. I want to know Him better. And the other day, Ty made a statement. He said, one of these days, I'd like for me and you just to, he said something about getting an airplane, but I don't think he was serious. He said, we'd need to fly up to the mountains and get us a cabin and just lock ourselves up with God for 3 or 4 weeks and just fast and seek God. You know, if me and him could do that together and we go up there and spend 3 or 4 weeks locked up fasting and praying, there is no telling what God would do when we got back. You know that? He knows that and I know that. But the thing about it is, doing it is something else. This kind of unbelief goes out only by prayer and fasting. Oh, that's tough. Prayer and fasting. But if you'll pray and fast, and I look at the anointing and what God has placed on me, and the longest fast I've ever done was 18 and a half days. I just can only imagine that if I, and then I didn't lock myself up with God. Cheryl and I still lived a normal life. I mean, we're going, working, teaching the Word, teaching healing schools and everything else. We're praying a little. We're just not eating. We're drinking a lot of water. I just think what God could do if we could just go somewhere in a quiet place and get on our face before God. And she'd be on her face over here before God and me over here. And we're praying or reading the Word together and praying and fasting and just totally, totally immersing ourselves in the Word of God with prayer and fasting for, say, just 4 weeks. I can only imagine what the King would do if we could do that in that period of time. I read a report the other day about a half a dozen men in California that decided to lock themselves up and pray and fast for 21 days. And they did. And the 21st day, those half a dozen men, when they walked out of that place, they walked down the street and there was a boy in a wheelchair had cerebral palsy. And the first man walked up and said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And the kid jumped out of the wheelchair completely, totally, normally, well. How would you like to see God do those kind of things for you? That's just 6 men locked themselves up with God for 21 days. And then the anointing of God that was on those men, the first boy they come to right down the street was in a wheelchair with cerebral palsy. And they just touched him in the name of Jesus. And the boy was instantly healed. I don't know about you, but I want to see those kind of things. But to make all that happen, if you don't love first, then you might as well not spend the time fasting and praying. Because the love part is the God part that's the first thing that's required. The greatest of all of these things from faith, hope, is love. If you and me are not willing to spend that time with God to walk in the God kind of love, you can forget ever seeing a big supernatural healing or miracle. But if you're willing to pay that price, wow. Will He do it for you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this day. I thank You for these wonderful testimonies we've had. I thank You for the wonderful Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for teaching us, Your children, how You work and how we can work through You by doing what You said, so that we can die to ourselves and You can live through us, and all these mighty things that happened 2,000 years ago with the apostles will happen through us. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. Lord, bless everyone here today as they go this week and dedicate themselves to a God kind of love. May you use them mightily to bring glory and honor to your name. Because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, and nothing is impossible with you. And Father, we know that in these last days, as your children, we're going to have to learn to walk in the God kind of love. Or when these devastating things that are going to coming, that are already coming upon the earth, many of us are going to lose our lives prematurely. But if we'll walk in your kind of love, we can walk in your kind of faith, and then we can rise above all of these problems, and we can walk out of all these without a scratch, without any kind of devastation to our homes, our vehicles, or our bodies. Because you will protect us when we walk in your kind of love. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for blessing us. And we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.